All right, listen, we got plenty of stuff on tap. We're going to be talking today about a variety of things, like always, but I try to run the gamut. But the first one I'm going to talk about is the stay or go. And I hope y'all saw, and I look at this and think, is this the hill to die on? Is this the one that they really want to hang their hat on? Because Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland decided to use taxpayer funds to fly himself down to El Salvador because he was daggum determined that he was going to get a chance to meet and check on and do a welfare check, I guess, and maybe even work out something for, what's his name, Abrego Garcia. Abrego Garcia, who by all accounts, by his own admission, was an illegal immigrant. Abrego Garcia, who his own country, his own country of El Salvador says is a MS-13 gang member. Abrego Garcia, whose own wife has filed multiple affidavits claiming that he was a domestic abuser. Abrego Garcia, who as an illegal alien was detained briefly, may have just been roadside, but he was stopped in Tennessee. We have a new report out today. Stopped in Tennessee. And by the way, this is innocent until proven guilty. All I'm saying is this happened. But he was stopped in Tennessee with like seven other illegals in his car, and it was believed that he was human trafficking. The interesting dynamic there is the Tennessee State Police turned the matter over to the FBI under the Biden administration, who promptly dismissed the claims and put him back into asylum status. Abrego Garcia, who, by the way, is an illegal alien who was detained by ICE in 2019, put in jail. While he was in jail, he decided to marry his girlfriend, whom he'd already gotten pregnant, which, by the way, was very convenient because then it helped him get status as a resident. He actually married her while he was in jail. One account said that they passed the rings through the glass. So all I'm saying is this guy ain't no saint. And I get that he's innocent to proven guilty, and the things that I just said don't have a criminal adjudication attached to them. So I'm upfront when I say I realize that. I'm an attorney. I get what innocent to proven guilty means. However, he's also an illegal immigrant who is not being granted the same due process as other people in the United States because he's falling under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, which means that he's more like an enemy combatant and that due process is not the same. You don't offer Al-Qaeda. You don't offer ISIS. You don't offer the Taliban if they were operating on U.S. soil. You don't offer them the same due process. You pack them up and send them to Gitmo, or in this case, you send them to CECOP prison in El Salvador. Abrego Garcia falls into that category. Dems are screaming, we should have had due process. Why are they hanging their hat on this guy? Why? And I'll tell you why. It's because they needed the straw man. I said it the other day, and I'll say it again. They're not interested in Abrego Garcia. He's just their poster child for trying to fight Trump. That's all they've got right now. Fight Trump, fight Trump, fight Trump. What's your plan, Democrats? Fight Trump. How are you going to do that? We're going to fight Trump. When are you going to do this? We're going to fight Trump. What does that mean, fight Trump? That's all they've got. So the truth of the matter is, they don't give a rat's hind end about Abrego Garcia. They don't care a thing about due process. They don't care squat about somebody's personal feelings or checking for welfare to make sure he's okay. And I'm going to bring his love back to his wife in the United States. Chris Van Hollen, jackwagon. The bottom line is this. He's a tool right now. That's all he is for them. He is nothing more than a hammer that they're going to try and use to drive nails into the Trump administration's plans. And it's failing. Because every time they open their mouths or commit some act on his behalf, the next story comes out that sort of unravels the sainthood they've tried to knight him with. And it's just kind of gross. It's really getting to the point of being kind of silly. I did not realize Are you telling me I have a caller on the line right now?
I didn't want to. You're on a roll. I didn't want to interrupt.
I was on a roll, but bro, I did not know. I'm so sorry. Who is that? I got about 2 minutes. Is that Sparky from Harvest? Sparky from Harvest, my friend. How are you doing? I'm sorry. I didn't know you were on the line. Is he still there? Did we lose the spark?
I think we probably lost Sparky.
Oh, shoot. See if you can get him back. All right, listen, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break right now, see if we can get Sparky from Harvest back on the line. That's my bad. I did not even know. That's awful. All right, all said and done, why? Should he stay or should he go? How about the rest of them? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. We got a brand new texter from Chattanooga. Is it Ammon, I believe, from Chattanooga? Says, talking about Shorty's text earlier. So, Shorty, I'm right there with you, not being able to see my kids on Easter. They were taken on Christmas Eve, and I haven't been able to see them since we have the hearing coming up. It's all over money. He said, I feel you, brother. We got to stay strong in Christ. Blessings on you, Ammon, and thanks for joining the text lines, man. Thanks for sharing the word with Shorty. Let me go to the phones. This is not Sparky from Harvest. This time, we got Daryl from Tony on the line. Hey, Daryl, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Carl. Hey, it's always good to talk to you, Semper Fi.
Absolutely, Semper Fi to you. Thank you.
Yeah, in regards to discussion about Garcia and that senator, make no mistake, Garcia is going to use that senator as a tool as well. So we're going to use each other, and that's pretty much what it's all about. Another thing, I don't know if I have a lot of confidence in what's going on, but I do know one thing. I got a confidence in Christ, and I know that, as Paul told us, we keep our eye on the mark, and we run that race, and we finish it strong. So lastly, I want to ask you, I don't get to listen much. I haven't heard Jeff in a long time from Indiana. I hope he's doing okay.
He's doing good. He calls in virtually every day, probably in the third hour. He usually calls in towards the end of the third hour.
Yeah, I work on the Arsenal, so I don't get to hear all the shows. So I'm off a little bit early today, so I got to hear it all. Yeah, we know what the Bible tells us about the author of confusion.
Yeah.
So you just keep your mind focused there, and we know that that's where it comes from, and we know that Christ is King.
Absolutely. Perfect. Daryl, thank you, man. Blessings on your Easter. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Happy resurrection.
Thank you, you too. Kim from Athens texted in, says, blessed Good Friday. Love the monologue. Kick out the illegals. Christ is risen. And then she ends it with amen. I love my ruffians, man. Shag Nasty the Atheist saying, if Christians had their eye on Christ, they never would have voted for Donald Trump. I think it's just the opposite, man. In fact, I tell you what, let me ask you this, Shag Nasty. Which of the two presidents most recently in the office, Donald Trump or Joe Biden, did more to project the notion of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ than the other? And not that we should compare. I mean, you know, one man's faith shouldn't have to be compared to the other. But as long as you're calling it out, I'll just tell you that in a little while, I'm going to play a clip of President Trump literally talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and saying that Jesus is Lord, which is a key, and talking about his own personal faith. And then at the same time, you have to remember that last year on Easter, it was declared the Transgender Day of Visibility by Joe Biden. And I look at that and think, there's a bit of a difference between the two. So Shag Nasty, come back to the light. Is Sparky on the line now? You got him? Cool. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Great. JP, you happy Good Friday to you, and a happy Easter weekend to the family. I love your monologue on Easter. I got a little tear in my eye, I'll be honest.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Biden last year doing the Gay Transgender Wonderfulness Celebration Day on Easter, the combination of cluelessness and maliciousness to me is what is so staggering. Anyway, the handlers who made that mistake or made that judgment. But this clown who went down to El Salvador, talk about living in a bubble and not having a single clue and being on the wrong side of history. There's people who've been savagely raped and murdered by illegals, including these MS-13 gang members. The guy he went to visit apparently was suspected of being involved in human trafficking based on a traffic stop a few years ago. The guy absolutely is is going to get destroyed when he runs for re-election in 2028 if he isn't, voted out of office by then.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think it'd be a self-inflicted wound, too. I mean, this was completely unnecessary. And I don't know if you saw it, and I'll talk more about it after the top of the hour, but Patty Morin, who is the mother of Rachel Morin, who was brutally murdered by an illegal alien, is from that's her senator. And she came to the White House the other day and spoke and said he never once called to even offer condolences, and yet he's going to fly down to El Salvador to try and elicit the, you know, the release of an illegal who's a criminal. It's unbelievable. It's galling. It's ridiculous.
It's so tone deaf. And, you know, when the voters spoke as loudly as we did last November, and then you see how popular the deportations are, you just can't imagine that the guy's got three brain cells to rub together, that he would, like you said, die on that hill or fall on his sword over this particular gangbanger. I mean, a violent gangbanger. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Hey, have a great Easter weekend. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you, Spark. I cannot help but think that Senator Chris Van Hollen has some buyer's remorse. Part of me thinks that he thought this would be easier than it was. Like, maybe he's one of those who had an overinflated view of his own ability to, you know, project power on the world stage. I'm a U.S. senator. Don't you know who I am? He showed up down there and it didn't go well. At that point, he could come home and be the laughingstock or try and stay there and gut it out and see what he can get done. And I'm pretty sure the photo op, which I'll tell you about in a minute, maybe didn't go the way he thought it was going to go. Maybe it's not being used the way he thought it'd be used. I'll tell you what happened with the White House on that same issue. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. Hour number two on a Friday. We're going to get you all the way to go home time. Don't forget, coming up bottom of this hour at halfway point, we'll have another round of Butters and Lee. That's coming up here in about 30 minutes. In the meantime, got an unexpected opportunity here. Just got a text a moment ago from a friend of this show, a friend to me, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, who represents a huge swath of ground in our listening area, has been down in Montgomery, our state capital, working as a legislator. He's got some information about the bill that he's sponsoring, which is called Alabama's Lake and Riley Act. And he's on the phone right now. So this fits right into what we're talking about. Let me grab him. State Rep Ernie Yarbrough, he is risen. How you doing, buddy?
Amen. He is risen indeed. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I'm doing great, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for the impromptu opportunity. This is cool. I love it when this happens. So, all right, listen, we're in the middle of talking about my dipper is called Stay or Go. I mean, how do people feel about this? Well, you've got your thoughts and feelings on it, I know, because you're sponsoring the Lake and Riley Act. You might want to just back up and remind people how the Lake and Riley Act works and tell us where it is legislatively right now.
Sure, yeah. Actually, yesterday was an amazing day. Actually, Senator Katie Britt was on the floor of the House yesterday for the young lady, Lulu Gribben, who lost her leg and part of her arm for the legislation for the shark alert system. And that was all incredible and actually was cool because that same day, yesterday, the Lake and Riley Act, actually, that I carry, I was able to defend it on the floor and it passed overwhelmingly out of the House.
Outstanding.
Which is very exciting.
Outstanding.
So we're like,
can I smell applause for that? Hang on a second, Ernie. We got to applaud that. Yeah. That's good. That's big stuff. Lake and Riley Act has passed the House. All right, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's been 2 years of hard work, a lot of help from a lot of people. Shout out to Speaker Ledbetter and House Majority Scott Sagan, for the leader, for encouraging it, pushing it, supporting it. Scott encouraging me when I was discouraged or frustrated and then lots of people who helped along the way. But what it does, obviously Lake and Riley, you know, all know she was the lady who lost her life, a nursing student in Georgia. And so what this bill now does is it heads to the Senate, where Senator Sam Gavan will be carrying it in
Good.
The Senate. I was super thrilled. He was delighted to carry it. He's a fine senator and a good conservative man. So I was very excited about that. But in a nutshell, what the bill basically says is that, hey, you know, the Lake and Riley Act, on the federal level, strengthens the federal obligations and federal responsibilities that they're going to step in and do their job. And so that's top down. So the Lake and Riley Act at the state level, bottom up, says, hey, well, why not go ahead and let state and local law enforcement enter into an MOU, and a memorandum of understanding with the federal government, and we'll work this thing from the bottom up together, right? And so, in such a way that the grassroots law enforcement gets to help. Now, there's some common sense protections in there, both for reporting, so that the people know what's going on in their local counties and local police, and know the numbers and the protection and the work is being done. But there's also some common sense protections in regards to immigrants who are here, because one of the common objections is, right, well, you're just going to be targeting and profiling, but it's not, because the bill actually forbids detaining people on the basis simply of their immigration status. And so, of course, that means it's in connection to probable cause when they're arrested for other criminal behavior. There's so many of these crimes that have been rape and murder and all these awful things by illegal immigrants were preceded by petty crimes. So I think it's just really important that we from the grassroots bottom up, we engage our local law enforcement to insert sanity and the defense of our communities as the priority in our communities. And so I'm super excited, because I think it's going to help correct this issue really quickly, while at the same time acknowledging we need legal immigration. We need seasonal workers. Like, those two things are not, they're not opposites, right? They can coexist together.
Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive.
They're not, but I have walls and doors and locks on my house. We have lots of people come through our door. My wife loves that saying, build a longer table, right? So we're all about people. We're all about fellowship. We're all about bringing folks in. I just want them to come in through my door.
That's good stuff, man, and I'm so glad. And listen, I got to ask you, you and I were talking offline right before you came on the air. Yesterday was a big day in both the House and the Senate. Y'all were making sure Democrats understood who was in charge yesterday, and I was so glad to see it. But we had a series of conservative bills, yours being included, that as Democrats tried to filibuster, y'all shut them down, didn't you?
Yeah, it was amazing. I've never been more proud to be a member of the Alabama legislature than yesterday, to be honest. Mm. You know, in the Senate, they cloistered 5-6 bills, you know, passing the porn filter and just all kinds of great common sense legislation. We had bills like, we're not going to be doing drag shows where kids are, where boys and girls are going to use their biological bathrooms. We're not having DEI and gender ideology taught in our schools, K-12, Gulf of America, Lake and Riley Act, Ten Commandments in school, chaplains as resources for schools. It was incredible. I would like to say, from my knowledge of politics, the House and Senate, it was the most conservative day in the history of politics in Alabama since I've been paying attention to it. It was amazing.
Well, that's huge, dude. And listen, thank you so much for calling in and giving us the update on it. But keep us posted on the Lake and Riley Act. We'll check in with Sam Gavan, Senator Gavan, since he's carrying the Senate side of it. But that's a fight worth having, and I really appreciate the work you've done on it.
Well, thank you for your support. You guys play a huge part. Keep sounding the trumpet, spreading the word, brother.
All right, we'll do it, man. Have a great weekend. Blessings on you.
You too, brother. Happy Easter.
Yeah, you too. That's just good. And by the way, I love the fact that we have a show that that legislators are listening to, and they call in because they hear something. I mean, it happens all the time, by the way. You don't know how many times I get text messages, hey, Phil, this thing or the other. And I'm able to jump in there with some new information. That's just nothing but good. Hey, so maybe let me jump back. So, by the way, that's your state level activity on the should they stay or should they go thing. That's basically the state of Alabama working through the legislative process to get a bill before the governor for her to sign that says, hey, you know what? We care too. Not just the federal level, but in Alabama, we're gonna codify the ability of state and local law enforcement to engage the process with the feds so that we can go not just waiting for it to come from the top down, but from the bottom up, we can push illegal immigration enforcement. And by the way, I want to remind you guys, we did this back in 2012, I think it was. Well, anyway, back when I first got elected early on in my first term, we as a conservative body of the very first Republicans ever to have a majority in the state house in 136 straight years, we did a comprehensive illegal immigration bill. And the and I would like to say we were ahead of our time because it didn't have the same. I mean, good Lord, we got protested. I mean, I don't mean like a little bit. Like, I told somebody yesterday, I didn't eat in a Mexican restaurant in my hometown for about 4 years. We had literally protests in the hallways of the State House. People trying to block us from being able to go vote and just screaming at us and on and on and on. End result was we got that sucker passed, and we did it. And then the ACLU, the SPLC, and all the usual hate groups jumped on in and sued, and they got just the right judge who somehow or another always manages to get our conservative issues, Judge Myron Thompson down in Montgomery. And they got parts of it unwound, but parts of it are actually still good law. We were ahead of our time. Now you look at the sentiment, nobody would question that bill. Everybody back then questioned it. Even some conservatives were leery of it. I take it back. Even some Republicans were leery of it. All right, we got a lot more on tap. We're going to come back and wrap this topic up. I will tell you this. Senator Chris Van Hollen just appeared in front of a group of people carrying thank you, Senator Van Hollen, signs to speak about the amazing trip he just took to El Salvador. Wait till I tell you about the side-by-side picture that the White House just published. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Was that an evil laugh? I think it was. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we got, somebody sent me a picture. Oh, good. We have protesters up on the, on 565 in, I guess that's 565.
Yep, I know. I've seen photos all today of that. There's multiple of those.
That's with fascism signs.
I think that's 565 going south. I saw a lot of them.
Yeah.
That or not like, south, going east.
That's southbound, I think where Governor's Merge is. So we got their fascism signs. Awesome. That'll show them. I think they're being mocked more than anything probably in Huntsville, Alabama. Mm. What have we got? Marshall from Dubai says, can we start a GoFundMe for Shag Nasty? He needs to get some professional help and some meds. Let's face it. There's no atheist in a foxhole in the middle of a firefight. Keep up the good work. Have a blessed Easter. Shag Nasty, there's people out there that care about you, man. Mark from Red Bay also says prayers for Shag Nasty, that God would reveal himself in a mighty way. Amen in Jesus' name. David from Bucky says, Phil, I hate leaving the Gulf Coast. Such a beautiful day. As always, another great monologue. I don't expect anything less. He said, and by the way, WVNN sounds fine on the app, south of Montgomery. Thank you. Oh, boy, he's got the view, too, by the way. He's down yonder at the coast. Thank you, David. Hope you had a great time down there. Mike from Coxie, Alabama, says, so this senator who decided to go down to El Salvador, he's suffering from the side effects of Trump arrangement syndrome. Is it Trump arrangement or derangement? Either way. Yeah, old boy's suffering. By the way, he's speaking right now. They're running his comments on both Fox and CNN. So the interesting dynamic here, though, is I don't think the photo op is going to wind up being the blessing he thinks it will be. I mean, right now he's standing in front of a group of activists, some of whom are wearing T-shirts for their activist organization. He's standing with the wife of Abrego Garcia. She was standing there, you know, looking. I can't tell if she's being sad or shy or both, which is, you know, understandable. She's not ever been a public figure. But she also, by the way, did an interview on ABC's Good Morning America today. And to their credit, they asked her, did you file reports saying that your husband abused you? I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's basically it. And she looked at the camera and said, my husband is alive. That is all I'm able to say. What does that even mean? And then Charlie Kirk tweeted out, just basically after that, said, tell me your husband beat you without telling me your husband beat you. That's basically it. Now, I realize that what I'm doing, and I got to be careful with this, is I'm convicting him in the court of public opinion. He's not been convicted of abuse as far as I know. But right now, I'm looking right now, he was suspected of human trafficking. He had 8 passengers in his vehicle with no luggage. All the passengers gave the same home address, and the citation was given for driving with an expired license while he was also on an ICE detainer. This is in 2022. He was arrested by ICE in 2019. He was on asylum from the Biden administration at that time. Tennessee Highway Patrol pulled him over, turned it over to the FBI because it looked like human trafficking to them. Never went anywhere. Guess why? Because it was the Biden era. So that being said, going back to Senator Chris Van Hollen, who is now giving a very robust speech, how pleased he is with himself. He's very excited. The White House published two pictures side by side today. One picture was Senator Chris Van Hollen, literally with a margarita on the table, sitting there with Abrego Garcia, leaning over with one hand like he's reaching for him and caring deeply, like this compassion. While the picture right next to it was President Trump in the Oval Office, kind of leaning forward and reaching towards Patty Morin, the mother of the young lady, Rachel Morin, who was murdered by an illegal alien, who's from Van Hollen's district, who says that he never contacted her. Pictures side by side. You've got the senator, Democrat, meeting with the convicted criminal in a foreign country and determined to go check on his welfare, never having called the mother from his own district who lost a young daughter to illegal aliens. The White House published those pictures side by side and with the caption, "We are not the same." And we're not. That's just it. We believe they should go. Democrats are somehow determined to make this the hill they want to die on. And I look at it and think, God, gosh, who advised Chris Van Hollen this is going to be a great thing? Because I don't believe for a second that what he did was go down there because he is deeply personally concerned about Abrego Garcia. I think he's deeply personally concerned about no Trump.
I also like Ted Cruz posted the picture and said, find you someone that looks at you the way that Van Hollen looks at Abrego Garcia. It's true. It's like he was infatuated with him.
Well, he's infatuated with his moment. I think he thought this was going to be the thing. So here's the thing. By the way, I will say this. I'm going to wind up. I didn't hardly get to any of my material because this whole dipper ran itself. But at one point, it says his goal, Van Hollen's goal of meeting with Abrego Garcia was later realized after several days. And images of the two men show them sitting at a table in the tropics with water and coffee. And one of the other photos actually showed Bukele showing water glasses that had seasoned rims with cherry garnishes, and Senator Van Hollen shaking hands with Abrego Garcia. And then President Bukele himself tweets out, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, miraculously risen from the death camps and torture, now sipping margaritas with Senator Van Hollen in the tropical paradise of El Salvador. That's the president of El Salvador trolling him hard.
Yeah.
And by the way, the White House and the president of El Salvador have both said he's not coming back. They're not planning on sending him back. And even if he did, what is it they think is going to happen? He's going to wind up coming back to do what? Have a quick hearing and be sent right back. So I don't see this going anywhere. What I think is going to wind up happening is Chris Van Hollen is going to wind up being embarrassed when someone dares to ask him, hey, were you really sipping margaritas at the table with the dude? And he's going to try and say, no, I wasn't. Well, what's that in the picture right there? You got your fancy drink on the table. Were you having a big time? What was going on? Had you a liquid lunch? What's happening?
By the way, in the picture of them standing together, you could tell he had MS-13 tattoos on his fingers. So so much for him not being a MS-13 member.
Yeah. In fact, I think Caroline Leavitt also said that when he was arrested, he had a sweatshirt on with imagery that is known MS-13 imagery of the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil monkeys. So all said and done, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, listen, if the guy is innocent, I hate it for him. But it does not appear to be. It does not appear to be at all. And by his own admission, he is an El Salvadoran citizen who was here illegally, and he was just deported. And I do not think for a second that we're going to get him back. I don't think the majority of America wants him back. I think the majority of America is like, well, by God, I'm glad somebody finally did that, because he sat here for 10 years with nobody doing boo about it while he's driving around doing things like, I don't know, human trafficking Tennessee. All right, coming up next, Butters and Lee. We'll change the topic and hit it with some friends. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.